Hello, America. I am Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton of the American Vindicta Show. Together, we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We're really glad to be with you. And man, I'm glad I'm an American. I got for so many reasons. We ain't perfect by any means, but we could be in such worse positions than we are. But anyway, we're going to be talking about the latest happenings with the war. And the war has wide tentacles. It's not just going to be confined to Israel and Iran in our discussion. For my bit, we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. Of course, there's never any guarantee when you look at any kind of an investment, but I've been involved with Noble Gold as a customer for 7.5 going on 8 years, been an advertiser for a year longer than that. And I have bought gold through them. I have done other things to protect myself. I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't let the bank steal your money when they start to fail. And they can under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010. Noble Gold can fix all that for you. So what I want you to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com, put in your email, and I will send you out an information packet, brief, short, to the point, easy to read. And you'll say, okay, I get it. I see why Dave's doing what he's doing. And you're going to want to do the same thing. DaveHodgesGold.com. And Doug is going to tell you about what he's doing with, well, we talked about train, prep, and pray. Some pretty good training with firearms, and he's got an all-women's class coming up. Pretty interesting stuff. Doug, tell us about that.
Well, we got Vindicta Solutions training that is scheduled for this year, multiple training venues. All of them will be located in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, at the Ready Made Resources Training Center.
Bob Griswold.
It's a cool place to visit because yeah. You get to come meet us, get training, and then you get to go to the Ready Made Resources store and hide your wallets when you walk in there, because that store has almost everything you could not think that you would want. August we've got pistol and carbine training, so live fire training. That'll be at Ready Made Resources. And then September, we have, the all women's class, the Lioness class. It's cool how this class is starting to really fill up. A lot of people want to come to it. Hope a lot of people can make it, but we'll train who shows up. And then, in December, we have our standard shoot, move, communicate. That's our CQB course where it's a lot of scenario based training. Most people don't get this type of training except for military and law enforcement. So we're specifically designed it for civilians, just more tools in the toolbox. If you'd like to come and see what we're doing, please visit VindictaSolutions.com. If you see the shirt right here behind me, that's our company shirt. That's exactly how you spell it, VindictaSolutions.com. You can email us through the website for any questions, and we'll get right back to you. Thanks, Dave.
That's good stuff you're doing. Remind me to talk to you when we're done about ready-made resources here. I got
Roger.
Something I want to share with you. But our late friend, Bob Griswold, who interestingly, a good anecdote to kind of lead into this. Bob was CIA, and we didn't really advertise that too much. He talked about it a little bit, but you know, you got to be careful when you're in his position. But I remember him telling a story where he was in a car with a high ranking Chinese general, and he wasn't sure he was getting out of the car alive.
Oh, man.
And towards the end of Bob's life, he was coming on, gosh, within a month before he passed, and he passed from cancer, but he told that story. Man, I'll tell you, he made you just live it. And you're kind of like, what's going to happen to you next? And the general threatened to shoot him and all this other stuff. It was pretty interesting. And they knew he was CIA. And there was a time, too, and not too distant from that time when Bob served, that the Chinese went on a CIA killing spree inside China. And Bob was lucky he got out of there alive.
Did he ever tell you about the time he was kidnapped in Karachi?
Yes.
That is the wildest.
Yeah, he told me.
The wildest story. I mean, Bob was such a good man.
He was a great man. Man of God. And I know he's looking down on us right now. And Bob, we miss you. We love you. I'm glad his business is continuing. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. But he was a wonderful person. He was actually my first advertiser on my website. And he reached out to me once, got my number from somebody we both know, calls me when I'm on hole 8 with my son on the golf course at 7 a.m. my time. And my son says, Dad, it's your turn. Bob, I'll call you back. What a great relationship we had. So, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm thinking about nostalgically, we had some great interviews about playing some of those interviews on the weekend on our podcast, because I don't have anything I run on weekends. And I think that might be pretty cool. He did this like OODA loop stuff. It's kind of like your move, shoot, communicate stuff. But he talked about OODA loop, a little different aspect to that, assessing your surroundings and so forth. And I think those are worth playing. I think we might have to jump into there. But I'll tell you what's worth playing is, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a quandary in the United States. And I'm going to start with this statement. All right. I don't like to see war between nations. I like to see trading and cooperation and athletic events. I like to see those things. But in my book, Iran could not be allowed to have a nuclear weapon because the religious leaders of Iran have threatened to exterminate every person in Israel. And they've done it repeatedly. And they have sent tens of thousands of missiles into Israel in their 10-year of power. And you can't let people like that have a nuclear weapon if you can prevent it. And Trump gave them a 60-day warning, 60 days. And on the 61st day, he turned Israel loose. And I hate it. I hate it from the bottom of my Christian heart. But I think at the end of the day, it's like David killing Goliath. It had to happen. Bob, what do you think? I mean, Doug, sorry, Bob, flashback. Now, Doug, what do you think?
So here's just my, this is just my opinion. No one wants to see war. Okay. No one wants to see the casualties of war. And you always got to remember the way the casualties are just so inconsiderately mentioned. That would be the same thing for here in these United States. If we ever got bombed like that, our outside allies and enemies would say, well, you know, there was a few casualties and that sucks. And that's the way these people think about it. And, you know, Israel was facing what they described as a potential nuclear annihilation. Now, I may get this wrong. Somebody please address it if I get this wrong. But for at least 20 or 30 years, Iran has said, if they get the bomb, they're hitting Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you gotta either let the barking dogs bark or take them at their word and defend yourself and prepare. I mean, that's what the whole Iron Dome thing is about. They didn't have the Iron Dome because they had too many seagulls flying into Israel. They were being attacked left and right daily, and they still are. And so Israel has the full fundamental right to protect themselves, and Iran has the full fundamental right to protect themselves. And it's turned into, I dare say, a regional conflict. I'm going to say this is war. When the ballistic missiles started firing yesterday from both sides, and then you had all the air raids, Israel was taking in fire after their six or seven rounds of air raids. They dropped over 300 munitions. They started to receive fire from Iran, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Gaza. So, you know, both sides. And the THAAD system was employed. Americans were there. The confusing thing is that you had Marco Rubio say that we weren't involved, but the Israelis said we were involved before anyone else did. And then Trump comes out and says, no, we were involved. And no, I knew 60 days prior that this was going to happen. I was warned the morning of that it was going to happen. So Donald Trump didn't deny it outright. He just never, you know, showed the cards, which is an interesting new term of political correctness here in America. The way that we used to handle these wars is we used to tell people before we would hit them. We tell the whole world, hey, we're about to hit so-and-so. Practicality wise, that's not exactly the greatest thing to do if you want to strike and, you know, kill people. But Israel decided to have subterfuge that morning, which they admitted that we did help them. I think it's now come out and verified by the Trump administration that we did have some sort of efforts with that.
Well, we're taking down their missiles and assisting Israel in doing so. We're taking down Iran's missiles, inbound missiles to places like Tel Aviv. So we're involved in the war. But yeah, also, you can use the argument, we have 100,000 Americans in Israel, so you can make the argument we're defending our own.
Well, in that beginning of the morning, Israeli Mossad agents were there doing whatever it was they're doing. It hasn't really been fully disclosed yet, though I'm sure it will. They were having some sort of an interference mission with maybe the early warning systems.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was.
And they admitted that we were there some way, somehow, maybe technologically based, maybe through satellites, maybe through intelligence.
Well, we gave them intel. You can bet your bottom dollar we gave minimum intel. I think there was probably more involvement. But, Doug, here's my position on this. This is not a surprise attack. Trump said 60 days. You have 60 days, and he reiterated it. 61st day they got hit. That's not an accident. That was Israel acquiescing to Trump. But I've also learned that the enrichment reached 84%+. 85 is the drop dead where they were going to hit them no matter what the U.S. said. Because 90% means you got fully activated nuclear bomb potential. And so they did that based on intel. But Doug, I don't think this was a surprise attack at all. Honestly, how could you know Trump and not believe the 61st day was not going to happen based on his history and based on what he said? He took out Soleimani. He's done things, okay, as he said he would do. I really don't believe he does not want war. But if he has to do something, he's not messing around. I got to give him credit.
Well, the thing is this appears to be a whole new Donald Trump in terms of how he's dealing with the rioters here in America, how he dealt with the world in the form of taxes or, the embargoes, tariffs and all that. And then the way he's dealt with Iran. We tried bringing Iran to the negotiation table 5 separate times.
Mm-hmm.
5 separate times, Iran didn't come to their better senses. I don't know. Maybe that's not even the good phrase for that. But some negotiation was trying to be made, and it was not made. And I think Netanyahu twisted the arm of Donald Trump to get this done, because according to Netanyahu, they were going to do it regardless.
But they deferred, and that's not a coincidence. They attacked on the 61st day after Trump's warning of 60 days. There was deference there. There was deference. But you know what? If Netanyahu had done it earlier based on intel related to the level of uranium enrichment, I couldn't blame him. Let's get into implications here in the United States. When Trump came into office, Iran was saying, we have 12 hit teams in America. They're going to take out key politicians and their families. They made that threat directly. I'm telling you, Doug, if they make good on that threat, I promise you the mullahs are done.
It would be a stupid idea, because that is mutually assured destruction. Remember, Trump said that he already has a agreement in place with the rest of his cabinet and with the DOD that if he were to be taken out, Iran or whoever would be dealt with accordingly.
Yeah.
And, like Trump, don't like Trump, I'm going to approach this objectively, not with no bias. If you do attack the president of the United States, you better get ready, because hellfire is coming for you. We are not afraid to bring the wrath and might of America to your home. And we've done it before.
Well, you're absolutely right, Doug. And the bottom line is if they can find Soleimani, and if they can if Israel using U.S. technology can take out the command and control of the Iranian army, they sure as hell can find the mullahs and take care of them as well.
Yeah. Do you think it's interesting that they directly targeted the six main scientists working on the nuclear refinement process, almost a proliferation, the refinement process.
Well, in the technology aspect, they cut the head off the snake. So, yeah.
Well, so, you know, that's the thing. The chief of staff for their armed forces was killed. The, I don't know if he's a director, but the general, however that it is that they give their titles, for the IRGC, he was killed. The general for the Iranian Air Force, he was killed.
This is like the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's their equivalent.
This would be like if you hit the Pentagon in the middle of a meeting. So, and it's strange to see it all happen so quickly and so well done efficiently with getting all these guys in just a matter of hours. So here's a big part that's probably being spoken about, but not too much from what I've seen. The logistical gathering of this intelligence must have taken quite a long time. They had guys on the ground who knew where people lived, when they were at home, when they were at a meeting, and then they struck, and they repeatedly struck over 300 air raids. I mean, that is just nuts. And only 200 aircraft, 300 air raids. I don't know exactly how many munitions was dropped, but they hit the nuclear reactors. Natanz, the biggest one, the most important one for them, is burning. It has been identified to be leaking nuclear material today.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Listen, I want nothing to happen to the Iranian citizens.
I would hate for a Chernobyl event to happen there. I really would.
I know. I hear you. I totally agree with you. The Iranians, and I've talked to, you know, I've interviewed an Iranian resistance leader who's in exile in Paris, and I'm convinced the Iranian people hate their government, hate it. I mean, Biden for MAGA people would be a benefit compared to what these people go through. The country's poor. They take all the money for themselves and they shuttle a lot of it off to terrorism while their people starve. It's ridiculous. But I had videos about 10 days ago. Iran was in protest right then. People were in the streets. The police weren't being very directive. They were just keeping people out of sensitive areas, but they weren't using a lot of force. And then I saw caravans of trucks on their equivalent to interstate highway, miles long, where commerce is not moving. Iran's already in chaos economically.
Yeah.
And they're in chaos with their citizens. And you know, we've got CIA on the ground, you know, promoting this. I think the Iranian regime is limited, but let's go back to something we've talked about. Back when you and I first met, you introduced me to someone who knew about something called Nitro Zeus. And I think we both agree, Israel just performed phase one of the decapitation of the command and control, as well as their nuclear program. But there's a phase two the U.S. would pick up on. You want to talk about that with regard to Nitro Zeus?
Yeah. So it was a good friend of mine. He's the one who briefed me on it. And then, of course, I'm obliged to give you a call, let you know. And, you know, there is open source information about this on the internet. It was leaked that this was supposed to have happened, I think, back in the 90s, and it never did. So you can still go and you can research this. The interesting tie-ins is that Israel did their part of Operation Nitro Zeus yesterday and probably today and for the next preceding days until they feel that they are done. Their goal was to hit SAM sites or surface-to-air missile sites, to hit airfields. I don't know how many jets were hit, but that was one of the targets. To try and take out IRGC leadership, barracks. There was probably a few other targets on there. I don't believe they were actually even supposed to be trying to hit the nuclear sites, because at that point in time, they didn't have the bombs to reach it. And still, I don't know the efficacy of the bombing raids for it or how many times these sites were struck. But one of them for sure is on fire, nuclear fire. And that's, that's not good. So what was our job? Our job, should something happen to the United States that gets us pulled into this event? Now, saying that, I will stop and say, we have a base still in Iraq in Baghdad, and we have troops there. I believe they're Marines. They may be soldiers. But they did get struck today, and there are multiple wounded. I don't know that there's any KIAs. Pray to God there's not. I hate to see that anybody's wounded. But I'm wondering what will be the cause and effect to draw us into the next phase of this plan, which is we will fly over, softening technique. We're going to bomb the ever-living crap out of them and anything and everything that can be any type of resistance. And I mean heavy bomb, more than what Israel did. We are going to heavily bomb them. So once the bombing raids from the Air Force is done, that's when our special operations units, I would probably just say all of them, from every branch, is either going to make some sort of an air assault or some sort of a penetrating assault by land into Iran. The goal then is to capture any remaining air base. And then from there, it's to find targets and engage. Then you have another unit. This other unit will then try to make entry into these, I think it's at least four or three of the major nuclear refinement laboratories, enrichment centers that are, I think one of the estimates was 30 stories underground, which is nuts. But we have bombs supposedly that can reach there. If we don't have one, we can drop four or five until we reach it, which I think is what Israel was trying to do.
Yeah.
And then we do our best to get in there, damage and or destroy, take offline the nuclear enrichment processes. And when this was briefed to Congress, it was duly noted that the foreplanners of this plan expected a 80% loss of all units involved. I don't know how exactly we recover from that, which is why the plan is kind of foolish.
Well, what would be the size of the strength of the unit going in to do this?
I have no idea. No idea. The actual, I know a baseline of the plan. I actually don't want to know anything more than that. So all I know is that these were the targets. I know which units are going to be involved in, which I'm not going to say here. But they have certain designated targets there to go and neutralize them, pick a fight, be a distraction, blow up the enrichment facilities, and try to get out. I believe if you were to do this, this is me talking now. If you were to do this, you would have to have our forces still in Iraq, because you would have to have some sort of a QRF, quick reactionary force that could potentially go in on foot or by vehicle convoy if need be, to be able to pick up whoever they can to take out. It may be too dangerous to land helicopters. I don't know exactly what the exfil plan was, which is the craziest part of it. There might not have been one. It might be get to your objectives, neutralize them, get out to where it is that your exfil sites are, and get back home as quickly as possible. The kicker on this was Russia. Of course, in the 90s, still technically the Soviet Union. So the big kicker with Russia was, would Russia get involved? Would Russia come to the aid of Iran? And back in the 90s, it would probably have been a most assured yes. As hard as Russia has been hit for the war in Ukraine, I don't know exactly how many forces they can extend and project into other regional wars. It might actually be foolish for them to do it. And maybe this would be China's attempt to try.
They don't have the ability, Doug. And let me tell you something else I've learned. Putin, when he attacked Georgia in the past, used what he called little green men. He also did it in Crimea in 2014 when they took Crimea. But ununiformed or non-uniformed personnel, and they're thinking he's going to use it to probe NATO defenses for a future offensive 5 years from now when they build up their military. And it's rumored that, and German chancellor talked about this about 3 days ago, he'll go into Estonia, Latvia, and do disruption exercises to test NATO's resolve and their strength. If he's doing that with all the losses he's suffering, he's got nothing to give to Iran. And when he lost the base at Tartus in Syria, when Syria fell and kicked Russia out, they don't have the ability to supply Iran. Iran is isolated. They're on their own. Don't you agree with that?
To the extent that we know, the where they're not on their own is whatever ancillary terror cells they have outside of Iran that they're still in contact with and are ordering around. These would be Shia-backed terrorist organizations. So you know, you have that, but Putin also had a briefing yesterday that was then displayed live on TV, and he ordered the immediate funds to be sent to his military to grow his military in all levels, land, air, and sea, and then technology. And they even opened up a new branch of the military that was specifically for drone warfare. And they project to do this all the way up until 2036. Now, most likely, Vladimir Putin is going to be long gone by that point in time, so things can change. But he's not backing down. If anything, Vladimir Putin is doubling down.
I would agree with that, yeah. But he's got limits on how far he can extend himself. And then you've got the crisis in China going on. They're economically in implosion mode. You got people fleeing Beijing left and right, Shanghai left and right. They've got problems in their four biggest cities with employment. It's estimated in Beijing that 85 to 90% of the businesses are now closed. They can't project military power now. But did you see the rumors that are out there that North Korea says they're going to come to Iran's aid and engage Israel?
So we talked about that earlier today. I want you to hear about what Dugin, the number two guy for Putin, what he just recently posted. Dugin makes bombshell claim that Iran actually rejected a military alliance with Russia before the Israeli strike. Listen to this. This is Dugin talking. He said, Iran is very far behind the new geopolitical realities. We essentially offered them a close military alliance, but certain forces in Tehran were hoping for a deal with the West. There was also an idea to create a Russian-Iranian union state. No one in Tehran took it seriously. Earlier this year, Russia and Iran signed a comprehensive strategic partnership agreement, unlike a similar treaty signed between Russia and North Korea last year. The agreement between Russia and Iran did not contain a collective security provision. So, I mean, if what Dugin is saying is factual, I mean, once again, who knows what is real coming out of Russia, then Iran technically screwed themselves, because if they would have went through with the security package, they would have had the Sukhoi 400 missile systems, which, I mean, in all accounts, is probably one of the most dangerous surface-to-air missile systems ever created so far. All hypersonic missiles, very, very good tracking system. I believe they can deploy their assets up to 1,500 kilometers. I mean, that's a long, long way. They would be more or less able to strike Israeli aircraft by the time they left the runway and got up into proper altitude. Missiles could be screaming at them. Now, that all has to do with radar sites and early warning detection system, which was the first thing that the Israeli Mossad agents were out there apparently trying to muck up. And then within the first volleys of these air raids, they were some of the first targets. So even with all the air raids, I've only recorded one Israeli fighter jet that was actually shot down. Only one out of all those raids. So, you know, Israel obviously did their due diligence. They did their homework. They had eyes and spies everywhere, which is very impressive the way Israel can do this. I just wonder, what is the next series of events for this? Oil is already up 11% as of this morning from the first strikes that Israel
did. So much for our cheaper gas prices.
Yeah, so much for, you know, world peace and all that good trash.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what they were talking about on Fox News tonight. And I don't know how seriously to take this, but they were saying, they're telling Iran, you will stand down with this. You will stop firing on Israel, or we're going to take out your oil reserves, and that'll cause you to have a regime change.
So I'm glad you brought that up. What I would like to do, if you'll allow me, is to read this message from Truth Social from Donald Trump. And then I want to talk to you about what is called the Cyprus Accords,
okay,
which is the opposite of the Abraham Accords. The Cyprus Accords actually talk about regime change after striking the head off the snake, which is kind of what's happening right now. So this is the tweet, I guess that's the word you would say, from Donald Trump. This was posted early this morning. He said, I gave Iran a chance after chance to make a deal. I told them in the strongest of words to just do it. But no matter how hard they tried, no matter how close they got, they just couldn't get it done. I told them that it would be much worse than anything they know, anticipated, or were told that the United States makes the best and most lethal military equipment anywhere in the world by far, and that it has Israel has a lot of it, with much more to come, and they know how to use it. Certain Iranian hardliners spoke bravely. This is kind of a dig on those who were just killed. Certain Iranian hardliners spoke bravely, but they did not know what was about to happen. See, Donald Trump knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
He says then, they are all dead now, and it will only get worse. There has already been great death and destruction, but there is still time to make this slaughter, with the next already planned attacks being even more brutal, come to an end. Iran must make a deal before there is nothing left and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more delay, or excuse me, no more death, no more destruction. Just do it before it's too late. So
it's another warning, Doug. I mean, and they better take it seriously.
It's pretty stern. That's a pretty stern warning. And, you know, do you play Russian roulette with a violent Islamic sect that the 13 mullahs or the 12 mullahs, they want the Mahdi to come? That's their Antichrist. And the only way to get that is to cause a world war of wars. So they were hell-bent on this by their own religion. And Israel took them seriously. America took them seriously. The actions of violent jihad over the past 30 years shows that we should take them literally and seriously, that they're not just barking dogs. So this is the Cyprus Accord, all right? So let's hear about this real quick. The Cyprus Accords are essential for Iran's future in Middle East peace opinion. The Cyprus Accords must be implemented now to ensure that when the regime collapses, a stable democratic Iran emerges as a partner for peace. This is coming from the Jerusalem Post. And this was posted February 6th of 2025. On January 20, 2025, President Donald J. Trump returned to the White House, signaling a shift in U.S. foreign policy with a renewed emphasis on securing American interests abroad. A central focus of his previous administration was the Abraham Accords, which sought to normalize relations between Israel and several Arab nations, reshaping diplomatic alignments in the region. While these agreements established formal ties, their effectiveness in stabilizing the region remains debatable as Iran's aggressive influence in regional destabilization continue to pose an existential threat. Now, in his second term, the question, is how to address the unresolved challenges that continue to undermine regional security. Iran's regime remains the principal driver of instability in the Middle East, actively fueling hostility towards Israel and the West through its resistance networks. This necessitates the implementation of the Cyrus Accords, a strategic framework to ensure Iran's post-regime integration into a cooperative regional system. As Iran's internal crisis deepens, all indicators point to its collapse becoming increasingly likely. The fall of the Islamic Republic is a critical global security and economic necessity. The regime's fall would cut off the world's top state sponsor of terrorism, dismantling its support for extremist groups. Additionally, Iran's return as a strategic ally to Israel would shift the regional balance, fostering new security and economic partnerships. Western hesitation in supporting regime change is actively reinforced by the Islamic Republic's influence network in the West. The regime has embedded its narratives into policy discussions through lobbyists, media figures, and individuals who falsely present themselves as opposition voices. Many of these actors, funded by Western governments under the guise of supporting the Iranian people, have instead used these resources to amplify regime narratives, deceiving their benefactors into unknowingly sustaining pro-regime propaganda. These figures misrepresent the Iranian people's demands, reducing them to minor reforms like adjustments to gender apartheid laws and unveiling the hijab, while ignoring their call for a full regime collapse and democratic transformation. Some weaken Iran's territorial integrity by pushing ethnic divisions, while others advocate futile negotiations that only prolong the regime's survival. This manipulation of Western discourse has stalled decisive action, prolonging the regime. Here's the transition plan, okay? Former Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, or Pahlavi, I'm sorry, I don't speak their language, stands at the forefront of the transition plan. He is overwhelmingly supported in street demonstrations, this is what you were talking about earlier, and public demands inside Iran, as well as among the Iranian diaspora. He has outlined a strategic framework for Iran's liberation and reconstruction. His five-pillar approach for this purpose includes maximum support of domestic resistance, maximum pressure on the Islamic Republic, mobilization of the Iranian diaspora, inducing defections within the regime, and establishing a clear political and economic vision of Iran's future. Strategically, these efforts are divided into two phases. First, the struggle to dismantle the current regime, which I believe is what's happening right now. And second, the establishment of a democratic government. As domestic resistance intensifies and reports emerge of fractures within the security forces, the regime's grip on power appears to be weakening, suggesting that its fall could be imminent. The transitional period will not descend into disorder, but will follow a methodical and transparent process. A constituent assembly will draft a democratic constitution with public discourse mirroring open governmental discussions seen in Western democracies. If you want to read the rest of this post from the Jerusalem Post about the Cyprus Accords, it will be in this video's description below. And Dave, I will email this to you.
All right. That sounds good. That's pretty telling. I mean, we're talking about the mullahs, you're done. That's my takeaway from this in a broad sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently you may see what looks like could be civil war within Iran if Khamenei is taken out. And that might be the big target that they're going to try and get in the next few days. If they kill Ali Khamenei, well, for one thing, you can expect worldwide terror most likely to happen as a reprisal for that. What that looks like, I have no idea. But these people are typically very staunch about that. But after that, I wonder if we would see outside forces like the U.S. or Britain or Israel actually coming to the aid of the people of Iran and then establishing a security cordon within there and possibly even trying to root out the rest of the IRGC command. It's like Operation Valkyrie with airstrikes.
You think that's phase two, which you're talking about the end result?
No, that's phase three. Phase two is if you don't make a deal, we're visiting bombs upon you. And probably somewhere in the midst of that, you would have to think that internal conflicting forces would then start to go and find and assassinate or detain, arrest people that are involved with the Islamic Republic Guard. You have to defeat that force in Tehran first.
Wow. This is, let me take a sidebar look at this for a second. I think Iran stands alone with Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. I think their only ally really is what they control in Yemen. Because I think these other nations are saying, we're going to make money with Trump and America. We don't need your nonsense and we're not supporting you. Do you read it that way too?
Well, there were reports this morning that Qatar and Jordan had scrambled their jets, which had some American forces embedded in both, and they proceeded to shoot down missiles and drones jointly. So I would say, yeah. Supposedly, now I don't know if Israel did this or if Iran did this, but supposedly when these attacks first started, Israel is saying that Iran led a cyber attack against Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and I believe Kuwait. So I don't know. I thought a couple weeks ago, because we reported, I thought Saudi Arabia was trying to extend an olive branch to Iran to get them to calm down.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's exactly the way I read it too.
Yeah, I guess that failed. So, I mean, there was a period of time over the last 3 weeks. There was three different occasions that I can remember that the Middle Eastern states of the Arab world had said that they would not allow for airstrikes from the United States to hit Iran, that they would not be allowed to use the air bases. That was one. Two, they had a period of time where they said that for about 4 days, they did not allow U.S. Spy planes to fly over Iran. And then thirdly, you have all these little, you know, negotiations that are going on, which I guess the negotiations failed. If they failed, it's most likely because they failed because of the Islamic Republic and the extremists within it, which once again, I do not believe that is a reflection of the actual Persian people.
You know where it went wrong for Iran was when the Shah of Iran was deposed, as bad as he was, because then Khomeini came in and he started dealing with women who were dancing to disco music and wearing mini skirts. And that was a death sentence.
Well, the same thing happened in Iraq, and then the same thing happened in Afghanistan. And the Brits, Mossad, and the CIA were all involved in all three of these nations doing these events from the 70s, 80s, 90s. And you had these dictatorial powers come up. Probably the most heinous was Saddam and his two sons. And then, you know, you have Iran and Afghanistan who share a language, but obviously Afghanistan is, you know, a thousand years behind everybody else. But Iran looked like New York City at one point in time, and so did Baghdad. So to see them get plunged so far behind, and the mistreatment of people, the mistreatment of women, the mistreatment of Christians, Kurds, all those people, it really showed just how brutal these regimes were. But when they left, there was a power vacuum. Obviously, with the Iraq wars that I was involved in, after Saddam was captured and killed, and the forces from Saddam, the Ba'athist Party, that's who we were fighting, after they had, you know, pretty much been taken care of, the power vacuum was filled by Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. And the same thing happened with the Taliban and ISIS. And so do you think there'll be a power vacuum of terror organizations that'll come up out of this, or could we see a whole new kind of terror organizations?
That's a really, Doug, that's an excellent point that no one's talking about at all. Because sometimes you destroy something and it splinters into different parts. And that's really what you're alluding to.
Yeah. I mean, it's an ideology. We haven't killed it. You can't kill the ideology. I mean, we tried. So if we're to make a reflection of what happened with Libya, Syria, what happened with Iraq, Afghanistan, then one can only foresee this as there will be NATO troops eventually in Iran.
I mean, you think there'll be an occupation force?
A state. So what was the word that we used? To stabilize. Yeah. Because there's resources that America wants there. We're not going to get involved if we don't get resources. Obviously, that's like part of the plan. And the oil would be part of that plan. And probably the ability for deep water ports would be part of that plan. The Strait of Hormuz, we definitely want control of that. And we don't want our tankers and other nations' tankers, especially those carrying petroleum products, to be harassed or pirated or destroyed. So we obviously want freedom of navigation within the Strait of Hormuz. We want freedom of navigation above Iran, and we want into Iran. So Israel may get what they want with destroying what could possibly have been a nuclear device, though nothing's come up about it. Reminds me of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We all bought the lie. We all went over there. So I can only imagine the same lie is probably rumbling around somewhere about us needing to actually get into Iran. Or maybe I'm just jaded and that's my point of view.
How much time do you think there'll be between phase one and phase two?
Well, phase one's still happening. The way Netanyahu and the members of the IDF command structure said that this could last 3 to 4 days, possibly 5 to 6 days. Netanyahu doubled down and said it'll last as long as it needs to last. And we're going to be the ones sending all the extra munitions to them. So we're going to keep providing it. So, I mean, I get it. The goal is to bomb them into submission. But I don't know if it'll work. It may not work. It may backfire horribly.
Now, I think the Iranian people, it depends how bad the devastation is in the civilian population. And I'll say something here that sounds really bad, but I think the mullahs would like to see a lot of civilian deaths to raise the ire against the West inside their country.
Well, those videos are propagating. Those videos are out there. They're hard to watch. Just like what's happening in Gaza, it's hard to watch. I'm not an advocate for war. I've been involved in it. I'm not an advocate for war. I know greed backs most of it, and somewhere down the line is security and safety. So, I don't know. I mean, we use Ukraine to weaken Russia so that NATO can eventually get a foothold in Ukraine, and God knows who or what they want to do with Russia if it is attacking them. But we will gladly use any other nation who wants to bring the fight to our enemies, and we'll beef them up and we'll give them everything to make them hit it. And we can sit back there with, 3 to 4 degrees of separation and say, it wasn't us. Might have been our stuff, but it wasn't us. We didn't do it. Though we gave them the intel. Though we knew of all the planning. Oh, and by the way, we never warned you. So, depends on how that's going to get spun.
I think if you're talking about warning, I think Iran was sufficiently warned. They had 60 days to deal with stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly was talked about within those meetings. I'm sure speculations galore what was talked about. But if Iran was warned, if you do not come to the table, if you do not make a deal, if you do not stop with nuclear enrichment, we're going to bomb you back to the Stone Age. I think Iran would have had a different outlook, a different response. So I don't believe that they were ever told this severe of consequences was coming. I think they looked at what Donald Trump was saying, and Ali Khamenei's tweets on Twitter back this. He didn't believe him. He didn't believe him. So believe him now, I guess. And here's, you know, here's Trump saying more slaughter is coming. The next round of attacks will be even worse than what you just got hit with. So I don't know what that could be, except for just more aerial bombardment. But I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Interesting you're saying that way. In other words, the destruction is going to step up. Do you think it's the oil reserves, the refineries?
Well, I think it would be, first would be a total annihilation of their ballistic missile factory, which I think is actually destroyed. Maybe from there, they might hit the barracks that the IRGC troops are in. And then from there, they'll probably continue with hitting these bunkers, these mountain fortresses, until it's just collapsed in on them or they are neutralized.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know what other targets you would have. Government buildings. I mean, that's civilians at that point, so I don't know why you would hit that. But anything that is a military target has a bomb waiting for it at that point.
We don't have much time left, Doug, but I just wanted to say this. If the CCP has been exposed in our mainstream media, is involved with these the insurrection here inside the United States, with directed towards ICE, and you got the CCP being tied tightly to Iran, at least philosophically. I think we could look at some really bad stuff coming here in the next couple of weeks in this country. And I'm going to just say, hey, you got to make your own decision, but I'd be careful about the public venues and or how many you get yourself involved in. Because I think bad stuff is coming. I think there's no question. Doug, tell people how they can follow your show.
So, obviously we're on YouTube. Our training site, VindictaSolutions.com. It also has a YouTube channel if you would like to go and check that out. American Vindicta has been updated. We have renamed what we're doing. It is full-fledged back into doing ministry work. So American Vindicta is gone. It has been replaced with the Failings of Faith Ministry. So if you see a change, that's what it is, but everything stays the same. But yeah, so we're on YouTube. I think soon we're going to be on a couple other different places. We'll brief people on that. But for the Intel Report, the Doug and Dave Intel Report, that's here on YouTube. It's an independent channel. Please make sure that you like, that you share, that you subscribe, all that good stuff. But more especially, please comment. We would like to read your comments. We'd like to be conversating with people. If you have any questions, if you got any type of intelligence, we would love to be able to hear it. And outside of that, Dave, it's yours.
TheCommonSenseShow.com. Follow us on YouTube, Rumble, and our podcasts. We're everywhere on podcasts. So make sure you hit us up there. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Pray for peace. Pray for the most peaceful solution to this problem. I agree we cannot let Iran continue the way they are, but I don't want to see continued loss of life. So pray that the Lord intervenes and we can find a peaceful, non-lethal solution to this problem. I want to thank you all for joining us. And for Doug Thornton, I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody.